Welcome to Art on the Air. We're going to hear from Don Hartman for the part two of the interview series with him. His show opens at the Harold Stevens Gallery October 5th from 4 to 6 p.m. and will be on display through November 23rd. It's new paintings and the show is called Pariah. Well, what are you trying to express in this show?
Reality. This sounds like a bold, big statement, saying that I'm going off of reality, but it's because they should be recognizable characters. I'm just thinking of that related to everybody in the show, all the characters in the show, you know?
In the paintings.
And yeah, in the paintings. And there is. I'm thinking all in my head. I think I meant that, you know? And not just what I was saying earlier about the community center stuff. They should not match, but relate to each other. That's what I was talking about before. It's like how if I go to a series of them, I like to not start with number one and go down a whole lot. I work on like 2, 7, you know? It helps me because I have a hard time with bold colors sometimes. I'll use one. I can't time them together as a whole series, you know? I'll put one that'll be way too bold and I'll have to fix everything, it seems like, you know? So I'm like, so how do I nail that process down? So I kind of go with the whole palette all the way through the same stuff. There's, you know, there's pretty much the, you know, individual colors that are to each piece. Everything else ties in, which is nice. Same kind of, I mess things up with oil stick, which is oil paint in a stick form, and you can draw it like a big crayon, but the texture it leaves behind is sticks off from the actual board, you know? So you have this other areas you can do that too. So I kind of, at the end, I'll look at the old image and then all of them and start needling away at the small details. So it's like, Stephen was always making jokes like, you'll never finish because all you do is keep working on until, you know, every last thing's done, you know? So I love, always have worked in a series. I don't know why I do it. I've done it before from one painting, obviously, but if I've curiously tried one time to break away from it, I couldn't believe that nothing was bad, you know, it was just a difference, and the difference I didn't like, one was stronger, they all like that. Always been that way with everything, I think, is...
When I hear your name, I think of your goat paintings. Was that, was that a series, or was that a more...
Sure was.
Where did that come from?
That was actually... Oh, I love that series. Okay, I was hanging around Stevens. I used to get bored at salons all the time. I had my sketchbook. I'm like, all right, all you old dingbats, draw some goats, you know? So I give it to Frank. All these people are drawing goats. I'm like, holy crap,
y'all
did it.
So you hand-drawing goats for
people?
They're
going to put it around the room. Like, y'all have to draw a goat, you know? And they're like, they had a blast. I had a bunch of them. I kept looking at them. They're hilarious. They're really good. Some people never expect that. We'd draw this killer-looking goat. You're like, wow, okay. And I started drawing my own goats, just like made them kind of like, you know, death metal looking goats. And I don't remember who, maybe Steven saw them, but somebody's like, man, these are great. And because I did a bunch of them, you know, I'm like, wow, cool. And like, I started doing just tons of them, you know, and it came to a joke. And then I had a show at the Worcester Craft Center. She let me have free reign, Candace, gotta love her. So she didn't ask me anything, but I hung like, I don't know, 50 goats in the place.
So, oh wow,
it was like, you know, nobody expected it, so it was like, I thought it was great, you know? So the reaction was fabulous, you know? And it's cool to actually sell those. Other things too expensive, I think, you know? But it's funny, it's like all of a sudden Johnny Couteau saw one or bought one. He's everything. Gosh, he's like a real smart businessman. But he did it on the side too, is he made t-shirts.
Photography for a while.
But it's single print, you know, I mean, single wash, really cool. Just had the drawing, had to be good, you know. He's like, we should do these as t-shirts. I goes, I'll make a couple and just give them on the house. I'm like, well, okay, sure. I wore one around and everybody's just like, you know, where'd you get that? I did it, you know. It's like, and then once people knew it was me, it was great. And it just took off. So everybody's got these goat shirts on all the time. I'm laughing, look like an army, you know. So it was really, really funny. But it's something that started as a joke. That was great, you know. That's how that started. And I was like, oh, you're the goat guy. And I'm like, man, this is to piss you off, you know.
So this was one. It started and became a show at the craft center.
Yeah,
and now, then, do you still paint some goats?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, of course.
I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. I'm kind of affiliated with it. First, I'm a snob, you know, like it's silly, you know, goat. It's hilarious.
And your work is really, you know, it's you when you see something.
Yeah.
But the goats,
man, I don't know.
Really,
I mean, I think that's an extreme compliment. I do. Trust me. Yeah. Thank you. But it's, I don't know. I mean, I'm just lucky because I don't know how it happened. But I even have to say something like, holy, you can't bust out of this. You know, I can't. I mean, it's the way I, you know, we all have styles of our own drawing and stuff, you know, but my hand like sticks in that form. I can't, and these weird hangups like with lines, if they're not staggered or something, it drives me crazy. So it's like my painting totally reflects that. If you look at it real close, you'll see it's like been gone by a lunatic, you know. But
I've also seen some of your works at friends' homes, and I can picture Don Knotts' face.
Oh, those are great. Jeez.
So is it...
You have good friends.
I do have good friends with good taste in art. What gets you to decide to paint Don Knotts next to... I don't remember the other faces in it, but they do look exactly like those people, and it looks like also a Don Hartman painting at the same time. Like, how does that happen?
That's weird. That's a good question, because, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say I developed anything, but I use it back then. They're way more accurate, I guess. You know, they're less buildup of paint, you know, the linear, you know, so it seems like more accurate, you know.
Oh, the other thing I should mention is Stephen Dorado's painting. I've seen that at his home.
Oh,
our curator that you painted him, and it looks just like him, but it's totally a Don Hartman. Like,
yeah,
what, is that?
Do you I'm pick not telling you those tricks. But
yeah.
That's what's trying to hardest to figure out your audience, you know, like. And, you know, I don't want to get all financial stuff on it, you know, but, like, where do you go? Do you want to, in the art world, what are you seeking? You know what I mean? So it's kind of, it is a good question because, you know, it's nothing really promised out there. And I think that's a tie-in with what Dean and I do is we do everything ourselves, and it's the greatest feeling in the world. Like, you know, sometimes it costs us too much money, but it all comes out in the end, you know? I think, and I hope that's not gone, because we mentioned the Sprinkle Factor earlier, and that being gone was a big hit, but there's life after that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think the way that Louis was doing things was like, there was no board to go through to get a show or anything, you know? And once people started jumping into that was a great thing to show there was more types of galleries in Worcester and stuff. Being an artist in 2024, the kids, I mean, that's one thing I hope they're more New York doing it, you know, but it's just sad to see. You don't see any, I keep saying all the time, like, where are the kids coming up to you, you know? And that's what I meant by the Sprinkle Factory, too. There were kids there, you know, they're younger and, you know, younger artists. It's like you just kind of bump heads, that's all.
We asked who his influences were.
Basquiat's obvious. I hate everybody who doesn't like Basquiat as a painter is just lying to you, because he can be really serious, real, you know, but there's something to it that makes it a little bit lighthearted, and it's otherworldly, because he's in his own Basquiat world, you know, where he's drawing his own shit. I mean, I think it just, to me, is that there's some dark stuff, but I hate the word playfulness, but with him, it's just like, it's the extension of his arm, you know, and like, the smallest shape he can bring, you know, bulk to, and it was a great, great painter, you know. And the fact that I love about him more than anything is painting's always supposed to be like, oh my God, this painstakingly long thing, you know, and sometimes it is. But he was so good and had the right material and stuff, he could do it in 1/3 the time, I mean, 2/3 the time of like a normal painting, you know what I mean? It's just that own vocabulary, you know, and like, I didn't much like when he was painting on crates and stuff so much, because it kind of looks disposable. But I like that aspect of it. You'd get stuff in the, you know, it's really kind of punk rock. And when he got like in galleries and stuff, and people were like, oh, he started to stink. No way. It's like, that's the stuff. Are not only playful, but now he's dealing with scale. I think scale is a trick with me. Anything that's big, I'm like, ooh, you know, that must be, it's big, it must be good. David Solly. David Solly is a painter who I got to meet when I was in art school. And it's true what they say about your heroes. They're assholes. Because he is the rudest, nastiest.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, I have a little mopo, I want to sign. I'm like, walked away. He was on something. He was around with Basquiat, you know, but what a different painter. He could do like realistic stuff, like Victorian portraits combined with like a sign for 7-Eleven. So like he was the first one to really throw, it was almost like pop art a bit, but good painter. And he's, if you like him, you don't, you know, but probably one of my, I don't understand the freaking thing the guy does, but he's one of my favorite painters, Julian Schnabel. It ticks me off, I don't know. It's like, but he'll do so many various, one time I just paint a pillar and that's it, and write one word. Oh, you know what you might know Julian Schnabel from? You ever see the plates paintings where they're like smashed plates? They're gigantic. Mm-hmm. He has Elton John cover. But anyway, Andy Warhol. Everybody's like, you like Warhol? Oh my God, you know? The first time I saw his stuff, I mean, obviously the soup cans and stuff, or the cows, you know? I thought those, like, holy shit, this guy's making cow wallpaper and calling it art. How could that work? Not just the pop stuff, which I thought was, like, that made you study art and stuff. I liked that it was simple. I liked that I could recognize what it was. I mean, I remember seeing him, like, 6 years old and stuff, you know? Like, who's this Andy Warhol guy, you know? And so I kind of always knew what art was, and I thought it was kind of a, that, if that's that, that's cool. I always thought anything that was like, you know, portraiture, anything like that was like way, way out of my league, you know, kind of thing. There's nothing like seeing like, you know, 36 Marilyn Monroes, you know, it's pretty badass, it's, you know, especially with the larger varieties, you know. His tackiness was, I thought, really good. If that's what you wanted out of it, it could be really beautiful, but at the same time, you know, a lot of his critics say it's just crap, it's crap, it's crap. It's pushing like the same thing back at you and making you realize there actually is beauty in a can of soup or Heinz, you know, those logos, you know.
Well, I'm thinking about, as you're talking, I thought about when you asked your grandmother to draw you a wagon.
Oh, yeah, it's picky.
What did you say?
My grandmother would sit around and shoot the shit with me all the time, you know, as a kid. And she's like, what do you want me to draw you? And I'm like, a wagon? So she's like, try your best to draw. She's like, look. I'm like, okay, now can you draw me a wagon? That's the name of my first show, which I thought was a riot. But,
I was hoping that you could talk about the title of your show a little bit, Pariah, and how that relates to you and your work.
I just like the definition when I saw it. I love the look of it for some reason. I don't know why, when you like words, you know, I'm like, there's really something to it. And I found out what it was. I'm like, oh, fabulous, you know. I've been called that for years. And I don't think it's as serious as that, but I kind of am, you know. I've been kind of banned here and there. I have a good reputation being a solid young man, but art-wise, I push it too much. Like, but I got a representation in Boston that I wasn't allowed to show in Worcester, you know, so it was great. It's like, ha, 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 you know, no faith in me, damn it. Yeah, but so there's a sense of outlaw. It's kind of cliche, but I don't know. I've always been that way, you know. I mean, defiant, but not cocky. Just question authority, you know, as they tell you. How it ties into the work, I think there's a thread of it in all my stuff, to be honest with you. Not something so obvious, I think. But I like pushing the envelope. I want to be like, you know, everybody could be like anybody else. You know, you just try to make your own niche, you know, and wonder who the hell you are, especially as an artist.
So I know that you're a musician.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if music has impacted your work, especially your music.
The stuff I write after painting or something like that, for music-wise, not so much as music with art or painting is, like, you know, crucial. That's all. God, if I didn't have, you know, I'd panic. Listening to books, it's just like I listen to, more than anything, I listen to music. Somebody asked me, does it change your mood or anything towards your work or anything like that? I don't think so. It just makes me, if something musical puts me in a different spot, I can use that, kind of, you know what I mean, if it's that strong of an impulse, I guess. But no, it changes me, not from just good or bad mood, or, you know, sometimes it does make me more stable, you know, and so I can concentrate on stuff as opposed to overthinking things, which just happens a lot, I think. God, yeah, music all the time.
What do you see yourself doing in the following years?
That's a great question, because it's tough. I'm not going to go in the big, I'm scared. I used to do two different things. You apply to group shows, or you apply to get your own show, you know. Now it doesn't seem what turn is right, you know what I mean? Like, how am I going to do this now, you know? So I think I took a break from all that, and it's time to get back to work, as far as, like, there's grants out there, that kind of stuff. But I want to start getting, and it's, I was told there's two ways that I could go, kind of. I mean, both sound appealing, but I've never been in this for the money, you know, and I spend a lot of money putting out stuff, you know what I mean? And I'm hoping, you know, it'll come around, but I don't worry about that. I can either go the collegiate route or go the more professional route. I've been told, I'm like, well, what's it entail? Like, collegiate stuff is great for, you're building yourself with that, you know, in colleges all the time. Like, okay, yeah, how hard's that? You know, it's like, well, but you've already done a bit of it, so it should be, like, walking through, you know. And that's intriguing, because, I mean, you know, like, just the reason I mentioned not worried about money, getting your work seen in a good place, you know, is this what I got to do? This is what I got to do. It's going backwards sometimes, you know. I'm not a snot, you know. It's just I got to keep it going, you know. I rarely do this, but I kind of give myself a check out of, like, how the hell's it going, you know, as far as, like, you know, what do you think of your own future in this? I was not really feeling down or anything. I was just kind of like, no, this is going nowhere. But no, you take what you've done. It's like giving yourself another resume and say, this is pretty, you know, this is not bad. You know, I mean, you know, what are you knocking it for, you know? And that is a good kick in the butt. And then once that starts again, I'm kind of like, I've been real focused lately, which is really, really unusual. So, yeah, I thought a lot about with the future stuff. I mean, I can't complain. I mean, I got it. People know my work. They know the hell I am. You know, it's, I mean, I'm pretty happy, you know. I mean, but of course you want more.
Thank you.
I'll be here next week.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Please join us on Saturday, October 5th from 4 to 6 p.m. for the opening of Pariah, New Paintings by Don Hartman. Loved hearing more about this artist and his works. It's on display through November 23rd here in the Harold Stevens Gallery at WCUW, 910 Main Street in Worcester. And please check our website, wcuw.org, or the Harold Stevens Facebook or Instagram page for open gallery hours during the week and some Saturdays. Thanks so much for supporting the arts.